Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to today's show. We don't have anyone asking questions, so it will just be myself and you, and I'll be sharing information with you. I wanted to speak with you about the alien agenda that people seem to have some very conflicting opinions about. My brothers and sisters, like any big picture, I can only give you the snippets I have personally experienced. The only things that I do teach is what Mother has told me directly or what I have experienced. And if I am giving you another's opinion, whether they are star beings or not, I will tell you this is their opinion. Because it doesn't mean that they have all the answers just because they are able to see clearer. So let us take a look at the alien agenda, what is, what's been, and what is possibly yet to come. Anything that you knew a few years ago is possibly completely obsolete now. The journey that we have undertaken of ascension since 2005, my brothers and sisters, it has affected alien races who are not as dense as us millions and millions of times more profoundly than humanity. Think of humanity as the child that sits in the middle of the merry-go-round, the carousel, in the middle. It seems to hardly move at all. It just goes very slowly round and round. For us, what seems like years have passed, a few of them, very slow revolutions, round and round. But because we are at the epicenter, because we are the merry-go-round, other races experience trillions of years in some instances if they're way out there on the high end of the scale in terms of how density is. And some have experienced millions of years if they're just a few rungs out on that merry-go-round, and so on. So depending on their level of existence, time would have gone very fast, or it would have gone slower. If you take beings like the Darklings are is a kingdom that are, in fact, at the very outer edge of that merry-go-round. They're of one of the highest kingdoms, and not by accident. Mother designated them as the history keepers of the planet. I wish you could meet them. They are so extraordinary. When they first appeared to me, they appeared full-size, so they looked like they might be 5 foot tall, like a humanoid size. They were pale green skin and very sort of African nose structure and bone structure actually all together, the cheekbones as well. They did have hair. It was somewhat stringy, hanging to their shoulders. And their eyes were very large, somewhat bulging. They were quite muscly. It turns out that they are extremely small. They're about the size of a pea. I didn't know that when I started speaking to them. They're very humble, and their devotion spills over constantly of how much they love Mother and Father. And how the beauty of their hearts, it's extraordinary. It's into this beauty that Mother entrusted the history of the cosmos, because also they have very powerful magic. They were deliberately made small. Were they always small? I don't know. Mother continually tells me I'm thinking spatially and that size is nothing to the infinite. So It's not quite a question I can answer, but certainly the possibility exists that she might have made them small to keep them under the radar. Because during the cycles of descension, they kept the history and at the same time stayed out of sight. And why are they called the Darklings? In the dark areas of the ocean. They dwell in water. And they are in the dark, dark layers of the ocean. In 2007, I was on board a ship off the coast of Europe, and my little one and I became aware that in the middle of, you know, out there in the sea, there was something outside our window. So she took her camera and she took a photo. There are just hundreds and hundreds of tiny, tiny little dots. They have told me that if I take that boat ride on the sea, that they will come and meet me and that they will rise up to the surface. These are the Darklings. Now, the Darklings are quite plain about the history of the other star races. It has changed so dramatically from month to month to month. The only time that we started to have a synchronized history was in 2007, in its first quarter, in May, when I received the clock of the Jean Galabruc. What to star races seemed thousands of years, and to us seemed a few months, then became synchronized. The Jean Galabruc are the lion-like people. They are about 5'8", 5'9". The tallest ones, I would think, is about 5'10". They all have shades of red hair, and their hair is rather wiry, and so it looks a bit like a lion's mane. They have a very flat nose and cat-like eyes, and they have, and the men have hairy arms that stuck out of their togas. Their toga is sort of a flax color, and is clearly homespun work. The younger men wear short togas. The long togas are for the older men and the women. But all of them had shades of red hair, all the way from dark auburn to light strawberry blonde. They are experts at mapping out frequency. And the clock that they produced, called the Estanglais ou Vasli. Sorry, you know, very difficult language, the language of the Jean Galabruc. It's an absolute delight for me to write, because it's so beautiful to write. But to speak it for me is not always so easy. But the Estanglais ou Vasli is the clock's name. And it coordinated, for the first time, the way time psychologically passes for all races. But so even if you were thinking of some, you know, battalion of spaceships that you're contacting and so on in 2006, my brothers and sisters, the likelihood of the same reality existing by 2007, when millions of years for them have passed, is unlikely. Now, I hope you understand my point on that. So, the history that most people out there that have snippets of truth, and I'm not going to tell you that I have much more than a snippet, but I'll give you my best and highest opinion, because there's multiple questions from you that come through our email list. So if somebody out there has information that they've had for 2-3 years, that information's wrong. That it's as simple as that. Major, major portions of the cosmos have rebelled against Mother since 2005, not once, not twice, but 3 times. Many times, those races brought upon themselves total demise. It's hard to tell a history that spans millions of years in 2 of our years. But that much I know, because 9/10 of the cosmos was wiped out the first time. Then another 90% was wiped out of that 1/10 remaining the second time. And then Mother resurrected multiple races, And so after that, you know, things definitely changed. The other thing is that there are changes in the planetary systems. People are still talking about the Orions and things. If Mother removed the hologram, the 3D touchable movie that she has put in place around the Earth so that humankind would not be afraid as the Earth leads this full-blown ascension and many times was alone out in the middle of empty space, leading all of creation behind it. If we could see, we would know that there's very few stars left of, for instance, the Orion system. Let's take the belt of Orion. In the belt of Orion, the one star, Zeta Reticuli, was occupied by the Greys. The Greys had abducted humanity for not only their own purposes, but for other races. They were mercenaries that could be hired to clone and create hybrids and work with the genetics of the abducted victims that they had. They did this because they could see that a day was soon coming, at which point they ceased to exist. And who was responsible for it? Humanity. Every time humanity moved forward in progression, if they became more enlightened, they became closer to being extinct. So they targeted the light workers. They targeted the greatest lights on the planet and abducted them. And when Mother finally called those souls back in 2005, there were a million that had been completely removed from our planet. That does not count the other millions they were abducting, torturing in many different ways, and then simply returning to their beds by morning with little wounds all over themselves. So, my brothers and sisters, that planet is no longer, nor is the race of the Greys. Another place they dwelt was in the Alpha Centauri star, which is one of the markers to the side of the Southern Cross. That star is no longer there. It might seem to us that it is, but it isn't. The middle star in the belt of Orion is not a star, it's actually a portal. And on the other side, there is what is called the planet of the frog beings. They're about 7-8 foot tall. In A Life of Miracles, I write about my encounter with one of the frog beings, and that the frog beings are very benign, beautiful beings in one-heartedness that dwell in great peace together. They're very, very beautiful. They approached us at the time that I opened the Ohio Serpent Mound in the beginning of 2007. And they asked us, please, could we approach Mother and tell Mother that they want to join, they want to be able to visit their counterpart star through the portal, that portal had shut down. And Mother shut it down. Because I remember the day she sent me to shut it down, because beings were filtering in from other galaxies, and it was like a wormhole or a time hole, if you will, in a time tunnel, in which they were coming in and out of this galaxy, because many of them were starting to pay attention to the Earth. And so some unsavories and others were showing up here. So she had me close it. But the frog beings had a brother or sister planet on the other side of the hole, and their relatives were there, and they couldn't visit one another. So they asked that Mother open that, which she did. So my brothers and sisters, recently, those two planets, she joined them into one, making a larger and bigger planet. So those frog beings did turn up in my class in January as well and asked Mother that their planet be enlarged because they were overpopulated. They normally migrated back and forth between the other planet, but because the gate was closed and they didn't ask me till March to open that gate through Mother's assistance, because the gate was closed, they were in overpopulation. Mother enlarged their planet just exactly as they asked. Now she's enlarged it much more, and she's joined the beings from both sides onto one planet. So our space isn't even the same. Two massive cosmic wars were averted within very, very short while of one another. For us, a short while. For them, a long while. One of them was the dragon rebellion that I spoke about on the previous piece that we recorded for the radio on our previous show. I spoke about the dragon rebellion. And the dragon rebellion, the old dragon on earth was deposed. He was knocked off his rulership by the lords of light of our earth because of his disrespect to Mother and his open defiance of her instructions. So that dragon went through the cosmos, gathering races, persuading them through magic, intimidating them, threatening them, but gaining support. He gained support of one third of all the cosmic beings because he was not about to get overthrown and give up his throne as ruler of the dragons. Then Mother prevented that. And I write about that in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, how Pan came running through my house to warn me of this planned war that was to happen. Mother already knew about it. And within a few minutes before it was to break out, she moved us up two levels in ascension and moved us completely out of the realm of that possibility. And the dragon and those he had persuaded to be on his side in open defiance of her ceased to exist entirely. That was the first war. And now we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
My brothers and sisters, a second massive world war, cosmic war took place, but really the words would have taken place is better. In 2004, I started to become aware. I had been tracking this for 2 years. I became aware that our future was also our past. That, and I did this through the then past life regressions. Now it's really very pointless to do past life regressions. You're better off looking for themes you are trying to correct your perception on in this lifetime because of the collapsing of the past into the present that I have spoken about multiple times that took place in October of 2007. But in 2003 and 2004, I became aware that when I did past life regressions with people, what I normally was doing, I was tracing their destiny. They had a specific contract that they wanted to fulfill on behalf of the infinite. What that contract was, I could only see by tracing at least 5 lifetimes back. And the reason is that I noticed that light workers came in clusters of 5, like a pentagon. And they all had a very specific part of one equation they were solving. Let's say the equation was pain. Because pain is now an obsolete emotion, but it wasn't then. So let's say somebody is studying that if there's too much pain, it breaks down. And if there's just enough pain, another one is studying, it could just destructure the old. Another could say that the pain was transmuted to wisdom. They're studying that. So you can see how they're all studying one topic, but different sides of the elephant. So they would cluster in 5 groups of 5 together, and they would reincarnate lifetime after lifetime playing these various roles. And so my job was to try and find the destiny of the students that were in my classes. So I would trace these lifetimes and the different roles they played for at least 5 lifetimes, but preferably more, and to my great surprise found that it ended up in front of us. We were on a loop of time. The loop ended in the future very, very badly. The loop ended when the Pegasus star system, incited by the dark gods of illusion of the cosmos, invaded a dynasty that had happened with Orion being sort of the masculine pole of it and the Lyra star system being the feminine pole of it. And I had one of our listeners ask me to speak about Lyra, so this is for him. The Lyra star system was part of this, and the ruling female, because it was female rule, the female rulers came from Orion. They always married males from Lyra. And then they governed this dynasty at that time. The Earth was part of the dynasty. Then what happened is that the Pegasus star system, through extremely hostile methods, started to infiltrate the way a worm would infiltrate an apple. They went to subtle programming in things that were given to young people. They went to isolating the rulers by placing traitors around them. They would poison key people. They would entice through beautiful women, the generals of the army, to the other side of the galaxy, if you will, at the time that they're needed over here. They followed the major light workers, they followed the leaders of kingdoms, and they absolutely would do anything they can to disrupt the society. They also had some planets that were incorporated into the dynasty that were really working on their behalf. So it was very much of a subterfuge warfare, a terrorist-type warfare. Then, once the apple's core had been disrupted, that's when they attacked. They blew planets out of the sky. There were so many planets blown up, those souls didn't know where to go. And the Earth became the place where bodies were prepared and they incarnated. Now, man originated on Earth, but I don't know exactly if this loop was just designed so that we could figure some things out, if it was not actually part of the timeline, or whether man had been displaced during cataclysms from Earth and their souls incarnated somewhere else and they were making their way back. I never traced the soul journey of man. I know that there has been continually human beings on Earth since its very beginning, and that the Earth is the cradle of civilization. But they have mostly been on the inner hollow Earth when it was not possible to be on the surface because the Earth was not very hospitable. So this huge war in the future What then happened is, in the loop of time, we went backwards and we incarnated on the planet, on Earth, and according to the ancient history that's given to me by a star brother, and it happens to be an Orion star brother, that came to me and spoke to me, and I will speak their language for you if you want to, but I don't even know, you know, if that particular star that he came from still exists. He was not hostile. He was, in that instance, helpful. But he said to me that that was created roughly about 15 to 12 million years ago, that an emissary from the mother came to various star systems and said, prepare this being on Earth. These are the components they need to have, that each of you have to contribute. The Andromedans contributed the mental body. The Pleiadians contributed the artistic capabilities and appreciation. The reptilian brain was given by the Orions, as was, I believe, the pineal. And the Orions were very interested in making experiments with the hardiness of the physical form, because they wanted to take those experiments back to their own planets to make themselves a tougher physical race, if you will. So that's what he told me. He said that they were told by Mother to come and make this race. The souls then of the planets that were blown out of the sky incarnated here. Now, that also cross-references with the oral tradition that Toltec seers like myself learn as we become seers, and that is that the Toltecs say they came from a place where great destruction was down to the earth, and that they were devoted to returning to those higher levels. And so, you know, their life was devoted as Toltec Nahuals to setting others free from illusion, but that was the purpose behind it. They wanted to return to the higher levels from which they came. So it does sort of fit. I cannot take that one to the bank because it's given to me by a partial perspective. However, my brothers and sisters, how man solved the problems that occurred in the future is that man learned how to work with his inner family. The bird tribes in that future dynasty knew that there were bad things coming, and they tried to tell the elders, but the communication breaks down when our inner child says, I don't like that man. And you say, hey, wait a minute, you know, what are you talking about? He's a fine, upstanding person in the community. No, he's creepy, says your inner child. No, 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 he's not creepy. Look at this big donation he made to the Boy Scout Fund, etc., etc. Okay, if we are in that situation where our inner subpersonalities cannot communicate, it is indicative of what happened in the future. The races could not speak to one another. Each race had a totally unique way of accessing non-cognitive information to know that something is wrong. And, for instance, the elder races, there was a planet, like the Lyra planet was part of this. The elders on Lyra had their temples erected. They had a holier-than-thou attitude. This is a dysfunctional inner sage, when the sage becomes judgmental instead of discerning. So these subpersonalities, you know, you'll find much written about it in Journey to the Heart of God and A Life of Miracles. For man to finally have those subpersonalities, how did he have them? Well, he had them because from the trauma of what happened in the future, his psyche shattered, and it shattered into the directions. So if you have people with multiple personalities, it is because tremendous childhood trauma beyond any imagining took place to them and fractured them. So man got the subpersonalities, and in learning how to live with his or her own inner family, was able to solve that which lay in the future. Mother sent me 16 generations before that devastating war would have happened in our then future. 16 generations before, she sent me. My brothers and sisters, it was a very strange experience for me because it was the first time that I traveled through time with my physical body. It left in rings. I saw my feet disappear, and from the feet, the next under the knees, and all the way up to the top, I left in rings. And I was in my blue jeans. I arrived in an inner chamber where the queen sat on a throne. She had this very super delicate, pronounced bone structure face. She had long black hair streaked with gray and a headpiece on. And the throne she sat on was the color of a dark mother of pearl, like a dark gray mother of pearl, but it shone like mother of pearl. And it was overlaid over a green material that looked like jade. So what happened is that I arrived in this room. She was on the throne. There was somebody who looked like a lady in waiting standing next to her. And standing with them were two elders from Lyra in long white robes speaking to her. And the surprise, because this is the most inner sanctum of this queen, when I arrived with my disheveled hair in my blue jeans in that little room, she immediately wanted to call the guards, and I spoke her language. And I said, "No, I'm here to help." And I stayed there 6 days. When I came back, 45 minutes had passed. So, my brothers and sisters, I will speak the language for you from Orion when we get back so you can hear what it sounds like. And we'll take a quick break.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elva Spada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And I will speak the language that was the only Orion language that I've ever spoken. And it is a language that was spoken by benign Orions that arrived here to ask me for certain assistance. Ik barachnatat urkushkaknik itra arakvasta ivyokunurki arakatasna pishkru urharat ivyeski erakuru uriti rama niti aka ukihaka ichkakufhi amat ipit ukatah. So that is the Orion language, and it says, from our time to yours, great changes have begun. Those of us that have survived have now gone into higher levels as you have moved. Hopefully, exchanges of information can take place in future. So, my brothers and sisters, that is the Orion language. Now, let's look at the bad guys of Orion. We've mentioned about the Greys and their abductions of humankind. I started to come under very heavy attack from the Orions after Mother had me raise the planetary levels up through the methods that she gave me to turn the keys. They realized I was Mother's key turner with the masters that were gathering here around me, and that if somebody was going to have to be stopped, it would be right here. My little girl is a beautiful little Native American girl that I adopted. She's full-blooded Plains Cree Indian, and she had the most horrible abductions by these beings. I got her when she was 9 months old, and up until the age of three, she was in absolute torment. They put her out of preschool. She would attack the other children. She'd run away from me, and when we were in public places, I had to have my eye on her at all times. If I tried to confine her, she would beat me and beat me and beat me till, you know, we were both just really injured. And this happened for the first 3 years of her life, where she was in that torment. She couldn't speak. She was late speaking. And, you know, I was told by everybody that's because she has this alcohol mother fetus syndrome, whatever it's called. And, you know, then one day, after nights of preventing her from being taken, I asked the angels, I asked my spirits, go and find for me in this cosmos who is the best at dealing with alien abductions. Find them for me. I will go to them and I will ask their help. They left for weeks at a time. They always came back and they said, you are. I said, I don't know how to do this. And I would lie over her little body at night and they would still take her. And she could see them because she's this magnificent little indigo child, and she could see them with her little eyes. So she and, you know, she and I would be watching Little Stuart Little or whatever, her little mouse movie, and we'd be sitting, and I'd hold her on my lap as much as I could in the day so she could feel some security. And I carried that little girl on my back for the first 3 months of her life so she would know there was a safe place. And then at night, it wasn't safe. It hurt me so much that I couldn't protect her. Then, after not speaking for 3 years, one day she looked me in the eye, and with struggling with her words, she said, Mommy, I love you, and I'm okay now. From that day on, the struggle ceased. She was subdued. She couldn't see other realms anymore. She didn't dive under the couch in fright and tell me there were horrible monsters standing in the room, in absolute white and shaking. And she'd have wounds on her little body when they would bring her back, and I did everything I could. But one day it stopped. And then about a year and a half later, when I did the work for Mother, the chilling truth of why it stopped was born out and I could see it. The Earth herself, why the spirits kept telling me I knew what to do when I didn't know what to do. And they kept saying, you're the only one that can do this. No, I can't. I didn't have a clue how to do it. I can't even protect my own kid. Well, it was in my desperation, my brothers and sisters, that I lay on the earth and I cried and cried and cried. And I said to the earth, show me what to do, that other children do not have to go through what my little one has gone through. And she told me how. And she told me quite clearly that every time a hostile craft enters the Earth's atmosphere, I will tell you because you will be nauseous. So, and then this is what you do to get rid of them. And my brothers and sisters, at night sometimes I would be awakened 6 times with nausea so bad, it was like I had to go and throw up immediately, but I would do exactly what you said, exactly what you said, and as I did it, these ships were in fact no more. And so I did this for a couple of years, except there were larger and larger fleets of ships from Orion coming to the Earth. I was in 2004, in October, in the middle of a class, when suddenly I was hit in the chest so hard that it almost knocked me out of my chair. There were a group of 42 spirits in the room, all of them talking to me at once, till I couldn't even hear what they were saying. They were all babbling at once. For some reason, I never found out why, this group just always moved as one sort of a swarm of bees. And they said that there's a bomb that has been teleported into the core of the Earth, and it's big enough to blow up the Earth, or at least blow it into pieces. And they said, you've got to do something. The bomb is going off in 36 hours. And, you know, that's not the time. I had yet been called in front of Mother. But I asked, what can I do? And got the answer that that's the exact same method that you use for getting rid of the craft. You have to teleport it back where it came from. They were so smart. They moved back and forth with this bomb through time. They projected it so many years into the future, then one of them went there and projected it so many years back, and so on, so that it's hard to track where it came from and when it was sent. So Mother showed me how to do it, and I had to send it back where it came from. And Mother, as a courtesy and a warning, transmuted the contents of the bomb so it wouldn't disturb their planet. But as a little message, next time, we will not be so kind as to transmute the contents of the bomb, and it'll go off on your own planet. 1 month later, the same thing happened. Then Mother said, the next time this will happen will be on the 25th of January. Be ready. Well, the craft from Orion were coming. Some were sending this, and that's when she had me close the wormhole that goes through the belt of Orion, because this bomb was coming through there. So then what happened is that these fleets, I was teleporting them into the sun, and they would, of course, burn up. And there's a teleportation device that then worked very well, and I give it in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. It doesn't actually work now, my brothers and sisters. I don't know what works now because I was able to travel freely myself. I haven't used a device, but that worked when we had a specific planetary configuration around the Earth. However, I would teleport it and the Earth would wake me, and she's the one that showed me how to do it. And so one day they shot a green dart into my head. There was a blue core in the middle of the green dart, which at the time I didn't know. And it was like a fishing hook. They shot it into my head, and they were able to lift me through the shield that the dragon had around my house, which I spoke of in our last program, through the shield onto their craft. On their craft, I discovered in cages 300 indigo children's other parts, their dream bodies. They had captured them. The reason my daughter could look me in the face and say, Mommy, I love you and I'm okay now, is because they took her and kept her in a cage. And when I finally got her back, my brothers and sisters, she sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I just held her. She cried with such anguish all those years that she'd been kept in that cage. I don't know if I would have gotten off that craft had it not been for a benign alien that helped me. and he teleported me off that craft onto his craft and then home. And I brought my daughter and all three, the other 299 of those indigo children home. There were also 50 Chinese little children, all the way into their teenage years, in cages that are, I believe, called crystal children and so on. There's so many multiple layers of great beings being born. I don't know those things. But they were restored and they were returned. The alien that came to get me, I've had experience with those aliens before that I will tell you afterwards. They show you their face. He looks me straight in the eyes. He had blue eyes. Looks me straight in the eyes for a long time so I can feel him. Then he turns his head to the left so I can look at him, and to the right so I can look at him. And it's his way to let me know that he's benign. And he's the one that helped me off that craft. So we will see what happened next, and we'll just take a quick break for commercials.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almien is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almien, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almien experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almien's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almien's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
I just want to make quite clear that that loop of time that should have been, that I spoke about earlier in the program, one day I was sitting on the couch writing those thousands of angel sigils for the next gate and preparing it for Mother, and all of a sudden it was as though the whole house buckled and then straightened itself again, and the loop of time ended. It was the end of that loop of time. It was similar to you having a loop in your belt and giving it a pull on each end, and all of a sudden the belt is straight. So there is no future like that ahead of us. We solved it by learning to work with our own subpersonalities, how to have unity within diversity, and the value of the child and the nurturer and the sage and the warrior, and of course there are other sub-personalities like this, the actual instinctual self as well, how they work together. So my brothers and sisters, let me tell you a little bit about the end of the Orions, and then I will tell you about the benign, beautiful aliens that I've had interaction with. On the 13th gate, when the Earth was getting ready to leave its place in space, and the Earth left an Earth behind, what it was, it was like separating the yolk's egg, yolk and the white of an egg. And we left the old Earth behind, and then later it joined us again. And perhaps on another show we can discuss that. But what happened is, at the 13th gate, Mother warned me. She said, are you aware that these aliens have gathered en masse every single ship in their fleet? And they are waiting that the second you come through that gate, pulling the planet through, and that ceremony that Mother had me do was 18 hours of ceremony with one 10-minute break. It was the most complex, and thereafter, as suddenly as it began, it was entirely simple again. So it was the place where we were moving and changing space. And she said that when we get through that gate, that they were intending some minutes after to attack the Earth. But like many of those star races, they were time traveling. So they were, in fact, waiting 13 years ahead. But that I should be aware that the seventh year ahead is a wrinkle in time. So the seventh year is as though it isn't there. If you have a fold in material, if you have a fold in material, you can walk right across the fold if you put it together. Even though the fold is underneath, you can go straight across. If you have a fold in time, you would go from the sixth year straight across to the eighth year. So Mother wanted me to be aware of that. I had to go forward in time. Therefore, 6 years, skip across to the eighth year, go forward to the 13th year. And that's where, before they acted, I had to teleport them, completely destroy them by teleporting their entire fleet into the sun. There were 40 massive, massive crafts with little crafts. And Mother, therefore, had, you know, them destroyed at moments before they were planning on taking us out with a vengeance. Because the very next move beyond that gate, that whole section of Orion ceased to exist. So, my brothers and sisters, we have had some wonderful, benign aliens. They may come, but Mother has made it clear that they may not communicate to certain groups on Earth, so that they give them technology, and then those groups could abuse it and use it as a supremacy over other groups and so on. They may not at this time share technologies and so forth. All they may do is they may learn. This is the epicenter, this is the dwelling place of the infinite being, Mother and Father. And so this is absolutely the place where there's no interference. I know that there is going to be future exchange of ideas, of cultures, of art. The reason that I know that is Mother has called 300 lords. And lords are a kingdom that very few people know about. But she's called 300 lords of light. And I had to read their functions into the book. And many of their functions pertain to the smooth interaction of the benevolent star races with humanity. And that, you know, there's an exchange of things, but it cannot interfere with life on Earth. Right now, there is a shield around the Earth, and absolutely, craft may come in. But they may only come in to observe and to learn. and total non-interference. That's for now. Sometime in the future, that is obviously going to change, or Mother would not have called those lords. I had two beings show up in my room, and they were of a similar, if they were not identical, they were certainly very similar. There was a slight change in the face from the one that helped me off the Orion craft, but they look a bit like a tortoise's face. Very wrinkly, very sort of brownish skin, but blue eyes in this brownish skin that is in a lot of wrinkles. The chin sort of just goes right into the neck. The nose is relatively flat with just two little slits. The forehead slants backward. And they had thick brow ridges. And the brow ridge had no hair on it. I can't remember seeing any hair on their head at all. There might have been a bit at the back, but I can't. Certainly the one on the craft had no hair. Two of them appeared here in my room. I slept for years with my little girl sleeping in my bed and my sleeping on the floor next to that bed to make absolute, even though I can king-size bed, I couldn't get the hang of sleeping with her because of the tossing and turning and her fear at night. But I slept on the floor in front of her bed to try and prevent anything like that from happening. And so I was on the floor on a little foam mattress in front of the bed where she slept in, which is my big king-size bed. And I looked up and the two of them were standing next to me. Excuse me. And they again gave me this ability to look them in the eye, look at them from all directions. Then they knelt next to my bed and they started to work on some of my intestinal organs. And, you know, I would normally be so extremely hesitant, but all I felt from them was the most profound love. And they wanted to support me. We had another interaction with them one time, and we don't have quite enough time left for me to tell you this, so I'm just going to do the best I can. But we came under attack from strange little beings that looked like what you would call chupacabras. Those beings are all gone now. But they were little men, and they weren't quite as, you know, so demonic-looking as the chupacabras or the goat suckers, as they're called. But they were little men with clearly depraved faces. They came to try and take my little girl. And there was a tremendous, I knew they were coming, I knew the time they were coming, and I was ready. But these two aliens showed up and took over the battle. One of them injured his leg, and in fact, he was quite badly injured. But they managed to chase those beings away. They let me know later that he was okay, because I was very concerned, but they totally stood in front of my daughter and I, and she was just four at the time, and protected us that night. So, how wonderful to have such friends. And I am so grateful. The Andromedans that I have worked with, I've often mentioned on the show. Noble, beautiful beings. And the man and woman, tall blue beings, worked with me and taught me much of the anatomy of change that's in Journey to the Heart of God. My brothers and sisters, it's indeed a wonderful world we live in with many mysteries, and I thank you for sharing this journey with me.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.